Episode 99. Today you will hear the story of a Bellator fighter who grew up in Africa playing basketball and moving to Italy only to become an artist. There he fell in love with mixed martial arts and is now fighting in one of the biggest MMA organizations of the world. In his last fight, he had to face his former coach and a training partner. But let's hear all of this from the fighter himself. Welcome to the Unschlagbar Ehrlich podcast, Simon Hemle-Bion.
Thank you for having me. Thank you to give me your platform to let your community and also my community have a better view of what I'm doing and support me through my process to become a second time world champion. This time it's going to be in the Bellator organization, and I hope to continue to grow. So thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I'm so glad that we finally can speak. First of all, I wanted to know Simon Hemle-Bion. It's a beautiful name. It sounds so French.
Thank you.
But I know where you come from. We will talk about everything later. But Hemle, what does this mean, the name?
The name Hemle, like, first of all, is a name like when I was a kid. I come from a country where soccer is very, very famous, and a lot of young kids from my generation was dreaming to become famous, like Samuel Eto'o, who is one of the most famous Cameroonian soccer player. And there is one other soccer player, and his name was Rigobert Song. And Rigobert Song, people was used to call him Hemle, Heart of a Lion, because of the way how he always play with intensity, with his last breath. And I was always inspired, but not because I like soccer, but because of his attitude to giving it all for what he won. And also, Hemle is, in my native language, it means heart of a lion. It means somebody who never give up in front of adversity. So I feel like this name gonna give me inspiration for my MMA career. That's why I choose to call myself Hemle. Also to remember people like me and also younger generation to take inspiration of our story, take inspiration of what we live, but because we don't need any time to look far to have inspiration. Look around you. A normal people can inspire you. So Hemle is like, I'm trying to use it to represent first of all my country, represent people who have a dream and who are ready to give all to reach death dream.
I have to say, I was a big Samuel Eto'o fan when he played football. It was so good. And the 2010 World Cup in South Africa, it was really, really cool. It was one of my favorites, actually.
Yeah. And you cannot imagine how also African guys are looking Eto'o like accomplishment, somebody who came from nothing and became everything. So he's a huge inspiration. And I'm one of these guys who try to inspire other people to think like we can do it, but not just in sport, but in other aspects of life, also in science. We need to take this inspiration and put it in the area we are doing, not just in sport, but also in different other things.
Yeah, I know. We will go to it step by step. But first, I have to tell the listeners and you a little bit about you and about how I got to know you, because I met your manager, Luca Messina, at the Cage Fight Series in Graz in October, when you had, at the same time on this day, you had a fight. And it was very funny because we were at the fight event of the cage fight series in Graz, in Austria, and you fought in Bellator on this evening, and we were watching your fight on the phone. And we were so excited about your win. It was it was crazy.
I remember that night was crazy, and I was a little bit sad because Luca was not here, because he's always bring that energy and he make me comfortable before to fight. So, but I knew this was also a big moment for him to cage fight series. So we were in connection, but not in the same place, but we were in connection. Yeah. And I think I feel that energy. Whoever think about me in that moment, I know I'm not doing it alone. Like people have my back. Yeah,
of course. I was also sitting there with my thumbs up, cheering you on, even though I didn't really know you at this time.
Exactly.
But Luca made some great advertising for you.
Yeah. Luca is a great guy, and my career is where is it now, because we have a good collaboration. Everybody is doing his job. I'm focusing to knock out this guy, and he's focusing to bring me the best contract. So, yeah.
It was a very emotional win for you, because you were fighting against your former coach, who now...
Exactly.
Yeah, he was training your opponent, Zubko.
Yeah.
How was that experience Zubko, for you? Yeah.
Oh, this was a roller coaster, like in terms of emotion. Like usually I am a guy who always try to not let emotion control my action, but it's always easy to say, but it's harder to do. So I remember I was in Dusseldorf, because my training camp is in Dusseldorf, Germany. I remember I was in Dusseldorf, Germany, and a close friend called me and say, oh, I have something to say. Do you know your former coach gonna train Zubko, and then gonna also be in Milan in his corner? And I say, what? Like, how he can? Do how this. He want me to lose so bad? He want to destroy everything I work for just because we are not working anymore together, or he have something other behind his mind. But I decide to keep my composure, because I think at the end of the day, it's not the event the problem, but how you react to this event. So I choose to keep calm. I choose to focus on my preparation, and I know his goal was to disturb me mentally, because the only way for me to lose against Zubko is going to be mentally, because we know each other, and I know where Zubko is strong. Zubko know where I'm strong. And the only way for him to beat me is to get in my head. And I understand this is why they were trying to do. And the week of the fight, I saw him 2 days before the fight. He was there for the official weigh-in and the face-to-face. And I was a little bit disturbed. I have to say, I was a little bit disturbed. But talking with Luca, talking with my team, they helped me to stay focused. They helped me to just think about the work I have to do on Saturday, and I just transfer all that bad energy. I just transfer it into my fight game. I transfer it into the mission, and that's how at the end during the fight, I was so focused, and I think also that situation helped me to, and I understand sometimes it's not bad to have enemy, because enemy can drive you, enemy can you can use that energy they are trying to send, that bad energy, you can use it and redirect to your own rise, to your own success. Is and this particular episode of my life teach me that, like, energy is energy, good or bad. It depends how you use it. And by this moment, I choose to use any energy, bad or good, just to help me to rise.
This is really beautiful. And it reminds me of a new movie that's coming into the cinemas, because this part of your life is actually a story of Creed. You know Creed?
No.
Creed, the boxer movie. You know, with Michael B. Jordan.
Okay. See, I know. Yeah. I know.
Yeah, and it's now going to be released in March in the cinemas. And it's the same story. Michael B. Jordan, who is playing...
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, the main part. He's going to fight his former best friend. And this is just crazy story. And you already know how it feels like and how it's going to end.
Yes. And the funny thing is, like, my opponent, like my former opponent, Zupko, I know him, like, he's not a person into trash talk. He's not a person into bad blood. And me too. There was no bad blood between me and him. But as soon as I saw him let this person use him in order to punish me, and I think, okay, I have to stay to put my focus only on the business side, because I know, okay, Zupko also need that fight. He was 3 years without fighting, so now he have to fight me. And first time, I don't understand why he signed that contract, because, you know, in the MMA aspect, I have more experience and I'm more stronger than him. So, yeah. And for me, he was a good situation because beating him, now I am on two win streak. And this putting me in the good spot now. I have my next appointment against a very strong guy. So the last fight is just passed. Now I'm only focused on the next move. And
I know that you were losing your first fight in Bellator. How difficult was it for you to get over it and go to the second one and win this one?
I lose my debut, and he was so painful. I was so sad because he was like 2 years without fighting because of the pandemic situation, and Italy was in the big spot of the country who nobody want to deal with. And I understand I lose that fight because of the preparation. I was not that well prepared, because I have to remember, people, I live in Italy, and as a light heavyweight in Italy, I don't have a many options in terms of sparring partner, because there is not so much big people and taller, and also in that level of fight there is no, so I need to go outside of Italy, Amsterdam, Germany, in order to have proper sparring, in order to grow. And that's how I always prepare for any fight.
Your first fight in Bellator was a tough loss, because not only coronavirus was a problem, but it was short notice, and against a guy who was the former training partner of John Jones. I mean, this is not easy for a first fight in Bellator.
But I was so confident. I was so confident during that fight. I was so confident because I'm always going confident. But the short notice aspect and the fact that I didn't have a proper training, I think it cost me. It cost me also because I was also overconfident. I was overconfident, and maybe because of first time for me in America with all these interviews. People always say, oh, you are a beast. You can beat this guy. And I start to trust them and not trust my ability. And I think it cost me, because if when I saw that fight many times and I was not that bad. It's just my mind was not in the cage. My mind was not in the octagon in that moment. And also there was some problem with my former coach, who also him was not, is not used to that big level. It was the first time for him to be in that big level stage of, he kind of lose all his tools to help me to win the fight. So after that, I understand I have to fix a lot of things, like in terms of training, in terms of coaching, in terms of sparring partner. I have to change something in order to put myself. I cannot be in Bellator and just be there like a number. I'm not a number. And I'm going to show them I'm not a number. I'm here to mark my time. I'm here to chase the title. So in order to do that, it was like a survival mode for me. Like better my camp, have a better camp, have better coaches. And that's what I did.
Yeah. And
but like also a loss. Like I didn't take it like as a loss. I take it as a lesson, because I think in that moment it was important for me to learn this thing. It was because this helped me. That that lose in America helped me to have now a better camp. Helped me to have now a different mind. So it's all like, I take everything, good or bad, but I just try to use it in my advantage.
Yeah. And I know in 2021 you got your first Bellator fight. How was it when you got the call from Bellator that you will fight in this organization?
Oh, I was so happy. I was so happy because like things go very quick for me. Like when I'm thinking about it, I'm starting doing MMA 25 years old. Now I'm 31.
Yeah.
Like if you think just 6 years and three years ago, 2019, I was in the situation where UFC and Bellator was trying to having me for a guy who was playing basketball before and doing art. This was like mind-blowing. I never see myself in that position, like having two contract of the biggest promotion. I chose Bellator because Bellator for me, I saw like a company who have more respect for what we are doing,
yeah.
Us athletes. I saw a company who not just think about their profit, but they understand also the hard life a fighter can have in order to prepare only each event. And UFC, I didn't choose it first because for me, he was very quick to enter in the UFC, just 3 years of martial art. I choose to take my time. I choose to learn before to jump in the very, very big stage. Don't get me wrong. Bellator is a big, big, big stage. When I think about the competition I have in front, a lot of former UFC athletes, a lot of former champions, I have a big competition in Bellator. So I don't ever think about UFC, because what I have to pass in Bellator, I think we have one of the best light heavyweight division in the world, if not the best division in the world. So people are gonna realize soon, like Bellator is coming up also, like in terms of level of competition, in terms of athleticism of athlete. So I'm very happy to be a Bellator athlete, and now winning is starting to get me in the good position where the promotion start to think about invest in me, because my goal is to bring Bellator also in my country, is to bring Bellator in Africa. There is no Bellator Africa nowhere, so Bellator have to be the first before UFC to make a big mega event in African continent. So Beyonce Simon being the Bellator champions gonna open up a lot of opportunity for other African guys in Europe, in Africa, in Africa, in Asia. So yes, I'm looking myself like an ambassador of African MMA, and now I'm also an Bellator ambassador in front of African fighter. So I have to show them without filter how Bellator is treating his fighter, good or bad. Now I don't have an UFC experience, but for what I can see, for what I can hear, also my fellow Cameroonian brother Francis Ngannou is out of the UFC because of the treatment UFC is doing for the fighter. Like, I imagine if you are Francis Ngannou and you have problem with UFC, you can imagine the young and upcoming fighter like me who, like nobody know about us, like in terms of big audience, like is harder for us, upcoming fighter to be respect by this big organization. But they need to respect us because we are bringing the show. Without us, there is no fight, there is no show. So if you treat good the athlete, they're gonna perform good. So I feel like Bellator is giving me all this. Bellator allow me to just focus in training without have a side job. Yeah. This is huge for a pro fighter, because a lot of UFC guys are training, are fighting UFC and have a side job. You cannot be totally focused to your craft.
Yeah. You're totally right. And the UFC losing Francis Ngannou was one of the biggest mistakes I think they made in the last years.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
and he was so exciting to watch, actually. But yeah, but UFC was asking you to fight for the organization, but didn't they already have a fight in mind and an opponent for you? But then you couldn't go to America because of coronavirus, I guess?
UFC, I was supposed to fight a UFC guy, but at the last moment with my management, we decided to not take that fight, because I remember he was, you talking about my UFC, he was a number 7 light heavyweight guy in the ranking. And I think I was not ready. I was not ready for that level of competition, because also, you know, you are stronger. You are strong because of your training partner. You are strong because of your the level of your coaches, the level of your training partner. And I was not in that spot where, in order to grow and to show all my full ability. So I think now, I did the right decision to not go to UFC directly. And now I'm happy for where I am now in the new gym with new coaches. And now I'm growing. I'm looking myself as a new fighter each and every time I'm go inside the cage. So I think everything's gonna come when I don't need to force nothing, because in order to me to be in that position, I didn't force, like everything's come because I was consistent. So I will just keep winning and being consistent in my work and let the universe give me what he has for me.
It's so funny because you already mentioned that you were actually 25 when you get into mixed martial arts, and before you were really good at basketball. How do you get from basketball to combat sports?
I don't know. Like, I remember in that time, it was 2017. I came in Italy as a student. In my country, Cameroon, I did a school of art. So I'm a painter. I'm doing also ceramic. Like, this is one of my paint.
Yeah, for all the listeners who does not
see
the Zoom call, you are sitting in front of a really beautiful picture, or actually a painting.
Thank you. Yeah, a painting.
And it's from you. So, how can you describe a little bit the painting? It's a woman with a lot of roses in the background.
Yeah.
And
the woman is a girl. Yeah, is a little girl with roses. And I try to express the fineness of a woman, like treat like we have to treat women like roses. We have to treat women with attention and take care of them, because in return they are giving us life, they are giving us education. Like, when you see a strong man and confident man, 100% is because of a woman, or his mother, or his wife. So we are men, we are warrior, because also a good woman in our life. He can be your sister, he can be your wife, he can be your mother, but you cannot be a full man without this aspect. That's why I choose to put women in that position. Treat them good in order to them to treat us good and help us to reach our high potential.
That's really, really beautiful. You know what's really important.
Like this, I have to thank my mother and also I have to thank my wife, because there's two person. Like, the first, my mother helped me to be a man and respect women, and then my wife helped me and teach me how to love and help me also. Like, this career I have now is 100% because she was with me. I don't think if I was alone in that moment, I will have all the discipline, and also because there is always hard moment where you think about giving up, you think about doing other things, and if you don't have the right person beside you to say no, keep going, I know it's hard now, but tomorrow is going to be better, so keep going. So yeah, that's how I say before, if you have the right person, you can also reach a potential you never know you can reach. So me, I have that chance. My mother teach me that, and now I have my wife who is helping me also in that direction. So there's these are the most important women in my life. So I choose to give them also that honor.
Yeah, it's really beautiful, because I know in Africa you have like brothers too, and I think your father was in the military, if I'm not wrong. So how was growing up actually in Africa for you?
Growing in Africa for me was not that tough, because I had the chance. My father was, like you say, a military, so he was working for the government, so he had a lot of advantage as a military. Like, we didn't have problem to have a proper house. with water, electricity, because my father was working for the government. But in the other part, I think I was a pretty calm a child, loving sport and mangas. Very, very early, I was in the manga stuff.
I never imagined that you get some mangas in Africa, actually. How is this?
No, there was a lot of manga. There was a lot of manga, especially in that moment. Like, it was the era of Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball was,
yes,
everywhere.
Everyone loves it. Yeah.
yeah. Dragon Ball was everywhere. And as a boy, this is an anime of boy like fighting, and we was like, oh, that's all good. And that's how I start to draw. And my dad was not happy with that. Like, because my dad was, stop that draw things, because you are just losing time.
What?
You need to focus on mathematics, things who are going to give you a real job. Drawing is not a real job. Like, and I understand him. I understand his position, because I come from a country where you don't see an artist living by his job.
Yeah.
You don't see it. And I understand, as a parent, as a father, his preoccupation of, oh, I need my son to have a good job so he can have a family and he can support that family. And in that moment, for him, doing art was not a possibility for me tomorrow to be a famous artist. So I was fighting with him I don't want to have money with art. I just want to express myself. I just want to draw because I love it. I just want to, because I'm a little bit introvert.
Mm-hmm.
And as an introvert,
you.
Drawing was a way for me to express, a way for me to talk, because I'm not a man of a lot of words. So for me to know me, you have to look how I draw, what I draw, and then you can know what I'm thinking. And it was not something I can control. I just need to do it because I feel like I love it. So sometimes when I was kids, my dad say, okay, go to study. And then I put inside my books of mathematics, I put a Dragon Ball, and then I start to draw. Like, I was doing it always, even in school. And then my dad find a school of art in Cameroon. He was an Italian school of art, the only one in all Central Africa.
What?
In all Central Africa, it was the only school of art. So for me, it was open mind, like, there is a school of art, so I can study art. This was Disneyland for me. And then my dad clearly understand he cannot, if he try to block me and try to don't let me draw, maybe he will lose me. Like, I was, because I'm starting to become rebel. Like, I don't understand why you keep talking me about a big future, making money. No, I just want to draw. And if I make money tomorrow with that, it's okay. And I go to that school of art. After that, now it was time to go to the university, and there was no university in Cameroon of art. Even in the country beside Cameroon, no. So that's why I chose to come to Italy, because in Cameroon, I did a school of art, and it was Italian school. So I think, okay, maybe Italy sounds good for me in order to do the academics of fine arts, and then maybe try. I will like when I'm focused on something, I'm always trying to do it at the best at my ability. So my goal was came to Italy and became a famous artist or a famous graphic designer, and then I fall into MMA and it changed completely and it changed completely my direction. Or I think it's also something I can use everything. Tomorrow, after my MMA career, I intend to be in martial art and in art. So yeah, that's why I came from Cameroon to Italy to Bellator Fighter now.
Crazy story, actually. But let's stay a little bit more about art at painting, because I love art and I wanted to know a little bit more. Was it only Dragon Ball that you really loved to draw, or was there like things you saw, people you met?
Yeah.
Or how do you get into this, like, feeling, I want to paint like this woman behind me?
Yeah. Like, obviously, my art grew with me. Mm-hmm. Like, when I start to go to the school of art, they teach us a lot of techniques, like how to draw, but with academics rules. Now, we have to do things with tools. We have to do things with technique. We have to do things with thinking about the end result. So this process helped me to also look my art grow. And the more I grow, and the more I start to take inspiration in of people I encounter. Like, definitely when I came to Italy, he was a big shock in terms of culture, in terms of new place, and this completely changed my mind about how the different race live together, how different culture have to stay together. I remember when I was in Cameroon, I was always listening, oh, in Italy, there's a lot of racism. In Italy, there's a lot of racism. But when you live it, it's different to hear it, it's different to look it at the TV. When you live it, you feel it. And it changes you. It changes you, not like, it can change you the biggest way, or it can also put a light on how different race live together. So now my inspiration is coming from I'm trying to educate also people about the difference of culture. I'm trying to use my art to educate people. You don't have to fear a people because you don't know where he come from. You have also to get to know them, get to know their culture, and maybe after you will know these people, now you can say, okay, that culture, I don't love it, but don't judge a book just because the cover is not good, just because the cover don't have lot of light or good photo. Try to know the person, or at least what is his motivation to came to your country. So my presence in Italy and what I live here drastically changed me in order to educate more people, educate Italians to be less afraid of Africa and to be less afraid of the difference of culture. So now this is how I want to use my art, and this is how I want to use my platform also in MMA, also to inspire African people to not being to work hard, try to represent our people with the work. I know there is also good and bad people in every culture, but why they don't talk a lot about all the good people is because maybe media stuff and journalism here in Italy choose to talk about the bad stuff. So guys like me who are doing good and putting Italy and African and Cameroon on the world map, we have to be more louder than the people who are doing bad. So they're gonna start talk about us who are doing good and putting light on the young and young people, entrepreneur. Yes, like this is how I intend to use my art now. Put light on people, yes, supporting young talent, supporting an entrepreneur, like doing being louder than the people who are trying just to live by fraud and everything, like doing more than them.
Yeah, it sounds like you experienced a lot of racism actually.
Yeah, because in Italy is a very particular thing, because they are not used to immigration like a country like France. They are not used to immigration like a country like Netherlands. They are not used to immigration like a country like England. So they are still closed mind in order to let these people their chance to prove, like, okay, we are here for work. We are not here just for eating pizza. I'm not leaving my country. Cameroon came to Italy just for pasta. No.
I would do this.
Yeah, me 100%. I love pizza and pasta, but I'm not just here for pizza and pasta.
It's so funny because you also said, for me it's crazy to think about mixed martial arts and then art, because fighting is so raw, and painting you need so much patience, and you cannot paint with violence and strength, because you need like a lot of feeling. And for me, they are two complete different things, but you said they have a lot of things in common. What do you mean by that?
Bro, as you say, mixed martial arts and arts is like we have the word arts in both, you know, like mixed martial art and art. So I look myself like I'm not lost, but I am in the other aspect of art, and this time I have to express, I have to do art with my body, I have to do art with my movement, so it's still art. And from the mental aspect, I think this, I really find myself in this thing because I have that patience. Art teach me to be patient. Art teach me you have good things with times. Art teach me to not hurry up to do things, but to be calculate, to be more focused and more in the present. Because when I'm painting, I'm not looking the time, like time is flying. And it's kind of a meditation, because I am completely inside my art and everything around me is like blur, like the time is stopping and it's just me and my painting. So I look the same thing when I am in the cage. Everything around is like the time stop, just me and my opponent, just me and my performance. And I'm looking at, in all these aspects, patience, focus, being in the present. I looking the same thing in the art, like when I'm painting, I look in the same thing when I'm in the cage. And that's how I look at myself. And also, I think many people don't understand they have their side inside their body. Like, now I'm looking like a man. No, I'm a man. I'm not looking like a man. I'm a man. But I...
Yeah, today you never but, know.
Yeah, today. But I have also a feminine part inside me. You are a woman, but you have also a masculine part inside you. Yeah. So we have this aspect, but we don't know how to put this aspect out. We don't know how to use it for our in our advantage. And me too, before to start MMA, I was never think I can beat people out because I'm not a violent person. You never you can see me in the street, never you can see me talking shit to people. No, I'm taller, I'm bigger, so I always try to like no, I'm not here, but it's hard. I'm taller, I'm bigger, so it's completely the opposite. Like if you think about me and fighting, people who know me when I was child, they will say, no way, this guy and fighting, they are opposite.
Mm.
But I understand I have, in parenthesis, I have that monster. And taking him inside the cage is a way for me to tame him and to control him. And make it and make him work for me and not against me. Yeah, that's why I'm using that energy, because that energy is inside me and I can easily use it the wrong way.
Mm.
Being in the club, getting drug, beating people outside. But no, I choose to use that violent side of me, that aggressive part of me, for my own benefit, fighting to give people, fighting to entertain people, fighting to providing for my kids, is much better. And is like a knife. I can use it to kill people, or I can use it to cook a very delicious dish in order to please people. Mm-hmm. So I choose to use that violence. I choose to use that aggressivity for me and not against me.
Yeah. When did you realize you like fighting? Was there a fight you
I realized,
had at the gym, or yeah, how did you get into all of this?
I realized I love it when, especially in the training. Like, I love to train and I don't feel, I feel comfortable in the pain. I feel comfortable in the discomfort. And that's why I understand, okay, this maybe, if I can train hours and hours without getting bored, like, yes, I love it. I can do it every day. Maybe I can do something. Maybe I understand, okay, these things, I love it. And now, fighting in the big stage, I'm starting to get addicted to that adrenaline. Like when you think about, like now, I'm thinking about my opponent every day. Like, I'm thinking about my opponent sometimes more than my wife.
Do you actually draw your opponent and then rip it apart?
No. But sometimes I have last time I told to Luca, I have my room and I call it a ritual room.
Yeah.
So I take a photo of my opponent and I put it in my wall in my ritual room, and every day I go do my ritual in order to getting myself prepared to win. It's not against my opponent, but it's to put my but I do it in order to put my mind like whatever gonna happen inside that cage, you have to win by any means possible. I have to win. So it's like a mental preparation. So I don't, and I'm studying my opponent a lot. I'm the type of guy who gonna watch tape, but I'm doing this before to go in camp. But when I'm in camp, I'm totally focused on me. I'm totally focused on what I'm capable of, because I don't want to train specific. Like, I don't want to change my fighting style because of an opponent, but I'm gonna focus on what I'm doing the best, and I'm gonna trying to get it better, and also working on my defense, what I'm not doing best, and also trying to get this aspect better. Yeah. So yeah, but I'm the type of guy who always think about my opponent. Always, I have a book writing everything about him. Like, I have to know him, what he like, what he doesn't like, how, everything.
Do you even find out what's his favorite color so you will not wear it?
No, I have to find everything. If you find something about my opponent, text me about it and I'm going to use it, everything.
And I thought you will go to the room and put some needles in his face or something like this.
Yes. I'm going to do it some voodoo.
Yeah. Some African stuff.
Yeah. No, you know, the ritual room is actually an important thing. This is no joke.
Yeah.
Ritual room. Everybody need a ritual room. Everybody.
My bedroom is my ritual room. Just go to sleep and forget everything.
Also, ritual room is look like, okay, when people think about ritual, they think about incantation, but a ritual is also every morning drinking a coffee.
Yeah.
It's a ritual.
Yeah.
Every morning washing your teeth is a ritual, because you are doing it not just one time, but every time, and it's become a ritual. This is a ritual. So a ritual can be, I have 20 minutes of meditation a day. If you do it for 1 year, it's a ritual.
Mm.
Also for 1 month, is your ritual. This is how I intend ritual. Ritual room is a space where is completely dedicated to your spiritual growth.
Oh, that sounds really good.
I was
thinking about a wall in my living room where I can put all my favorite athletes on the wall. So it's like
Exactly. Something like this. This is a ritual place.
Yeah.
This is a ritual place.
Because you see it and it motivates you and it puts you like to the things you really want, and you know, okay, this is the thing.
Exact. It's
important.
You get it. Because you have to remember yourself.
Yeah.
Every day. This is the difference between people who reach their goals and the people who don't reach their goals. People will reach their goals. It's not, you have to keep that goal fresh in your mind as soon as you can.
You have
to refresh it. You have to keep it fresh in your mind.
Yeah, remember why you're like, doing it.
Exactly. It's not like, oh, I want it, and then you go to sleep and everything's going to work, like the universe is going to bring it to you. No.
Yeah.
In order to have what you want, you have to give something.
A lot.
Nothing is free. There is nothing free. Even universe don't give you nothing free. If you are lazy, nothing for you. A lazy man don't have to. Nothing. You have to give something to the universe in order to have something. You have to pay in order to have something. It's work like this.
Mm.
Yeah. In order to win, I pay by being disciplined in my training, being disciplined in my how I sleep, how I recover. This is how I pay in order to win.
Yeah.
If I'm not doing this thing, if I'm not disciplined in my training, disciplined in my diet, and how I recover, I will not get the result. Put something is like balance,
mm.
balance of
from nothing.
This is
nothing.
My
yeah.
No. From nothing, you get nothing. No.
Yeah.
You have to give something.
Yeah.
And it's not always money. And people think like, you have to pay everything with money. No, it's not always money. Money is not the most valuable thing. The most valuable thing now, right now, is our time.
Mm.
The time we are, how you use your time.
Yeah, and you...
It's not money. Yeah.
You also use your time as an ambassador for an organization which is fighting and for the environment and against global
yeah.
warming, which is a really important
yeah.
topic. And I think it's really cool that you are such a face of this Just Dig In brand and that they
yeah.
are fighting for them. Is it because, is this topic so important to you also because you now have two children?
Yeah, now it's also important because for me, I came from a country where people don't have job and they start to destroy the forest in order to live, in order to have something to eat, and cutting trees. So we have to educate them, and I'm aware of that situation because I'm looking how our environment is changing, and is changing very, very fast. So if you don't take action now, maybe it's going to be too late. So when I saw about the Just Dig In project, I just fell in love with that because I just think, maybe I have to get into that platform in order to give also awareness to people who are follow me, in order to give awareness to African people, because it's more focused on the African continent, because we all know there is a big traffic of wood. Like in my country, Chinese company and other American and European company are doing this business. So we have to control how we are cutting trees. If not, we are killing ourselves. This like suicide. This is clearly a suicide. In my village, they are cutting trees to get palm oil.
Oh man.
Yeah, and this is not good.
Yeah.
Palm oil, yes, is bringing money to people, is bringing food to the table, but at the same time, in order to have palm oil, you have to destroy all the forest. All the forest. So our government and the people in charge have to organize these things. And I think the best way to educate people is now through social media, is through campaigns. And I think me, if I continue to grow, I will have maybe a better platform to educate people about that. And also we have to build other opportunity. We have to give opportunity of work to the young people, so they will let the forest in peace and then have other option to get money.
Mm.
So it's a very, very serious topic.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to be in the Just Dig It team. And I hope to have more tools tomorrow to to continue to give awareness to people, to give awareness to the farmers, to defend our ecosystem.
Yeah. You saw so many places around the world. Do you think in Europe it's a little bit better with this topic compared to Africa, or do you think Europe has so many opportunities but not doing enough?
I think in this aspect, Europe is now regretting the fact that they cut all the trees. And now they know if the other continent are doing the same, it's going to be bad for everybody. So I think maybe they are trying to save what they have destroyed in the European continent. Because this topic is also... they are doing also the same thing in the other country, like Amazonia, like all this country where there is still a lot of vegetation, a lot of big ecosystem. So it's not about Europe, but it's a worldwide thing. And I'm happy that a country and people like Just Dig It are not just focused in Europe, but they are trying to do it worldwide, starting with Africa. Because don't get me wrong, African people are not like they are cutting trees because they don't know like trees is important. They just don't have other option. But they are completely know that this is not good. Cutting all the trees is not good. But when you have to struggle to have a food on your table, a glass of water, you will not think about saving the planet. You will just think about saving your belly, saving your kids, saving. So we have to, before, give them other option to live, and then we can save our environment. But if we don't give people other option to get money, to earn money, it's going to be hard. We can talk every day about how it's not good to cut trees. But at the end of the day, if there is no food on the table, I'm going to cut that tree in order to give my kids something to eat.
Mm. Okay, little topic change, because I know we don't have too much time left, but...
Okay.
Some questions I really wanted to know. You growing up in Cameroon, you speak French and English, right?
Yes.
And then you went to the Italian art of school and you had like Italian?
Yeah, Italian. I'm speaking English, French, Italian, and I'm studying German.
Ah, German is the worst, I guess.
Yeah, German is the worst. It's the worst. Like, yeah. It's very hard. It's very, very hard. But I'm trying my best, and because now training in Germany, Düsseldorf,
put me in UFD. That
position. Yes, with the gym.
Yeah.
Who now? I'm taking this moment also to saying thank you for everything. Like, because when I start to train here, I feel like, yes, I'm starting to grow. I'm starting to learn a lot of new things. And it's a very good place for me now. And I'm happy to be there. And the next step for me is just going to be learning more German. And I don't have problem to learn languages as soon it can help me to spray my message, continue to give awareness for MMA, art, and also environment. So this also is always a bonus. Speaking more languages is always a bonus. Like, now I'm speaking English, but I didn't do a course of English. I'm just by traveling, just by looking in interviews on YouTube, and slowly my vocabulary start to get it, to get better.
I think it's really good, actually, your English.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So sometimes it's a little bit confusing talking all these languages, because now I was talking and then an Italian word come out and then I said, oh, sorry. Yeah, but sometimes, you can talk in French and then an Italian word, you can talk in English and then a French word. Okay. But at the end, is a bonus.
Yeah.
Is a bonus always to learn in new languages. And this also show how the human brain is powerful and can reach very, very high potential. We just have to not being so distracted about everything around us. But I understand it's not easy. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. The distraction now is everywhere.
Yeah, it is, especially with the phones.
yeah.
But so that I get it right, you came to Italy and then in Italy you started with mixed martial arts.
And
then you had a big career and you went to Japan and now you're a lot...
Yeah, I'm going to Japan. Japan was a good experience.
Yeah,
like I said before, everything goes fast. But all death change really start when I start to work with Caribbean. Luca and Samuele did a very, very phenomenal job to my career, always putting me in this big event, always putting me in collaboration with good brand, good people like Just Dig It, like today. I have an opportunity to have time in your platform, so I'm very happy to work with this guy because they know my philosophy and they know how to help me reach more people and spread the message I want to spread.
Yeah, sounds really good. And your residence is still in Italy, but you come to Germany and train there a lot, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you think you will maybe move to Germany, or do you still planning on staying in Italy and trying to get your career from there?
Now it's hard for me to train in Italy. First of all, because of here I'm living in Genoa, is a small city. And the only big gym, MMA, was the gym where I was before. But it's not like it's a big gym because there is no big training partner and all this stuff. So doing always Germany, Italy, is also hard for my family. It's hard for my wife. It's hard for my kids. So I intend to transfer or in Holland or in Germany, but I think it's gonna be more in Germany because Luca told me living in Holland is too expensive. So
yeah.
I'm kind of thinking, okay, maybe Germany sounds good for me because also I have the gym here, not necessarily in Düsseldorf because now also with the Ukrainian crisis, it's difficult to have an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in the periphery of Düsseldorf, maybe 25 minutes with car, 15 minutes with car. Some city in around of Düsseldorf is going to be great. But yeah, my intention definitely is to move to Germany. So I can train constantly because now here in Italy, I don't train martial art as I want.
Mm.
I have to arrange myself, going death gym, going, and it's not always easy and it's taking me a lot of time. So yeah.
Maybe you can come
I hope.
Maybe you can come to Vienna because we have a new very big gym and it's really beautiful. And we also have Alexander
also,
Rakic.
Yes.
He's in the UFC, but
exactly,
he's light heavyweight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's a light heavyweight, and I met Rakic in the UFC gym because he's Rakic. Yeah, Rakic always come in the UFC gym.
Yeah, he's good friends with Soldic. That's why, I guess.
Yeah, good friend with Soldic, and also there is one coach of Rakic who is always in Germany training an Iranian fighter. So yeah, Rakic is a beast.
Yeah,
and Vienna.
Yeah.
And Vienna is a big city of also of MMA.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Sounds really good. So
he can be an option for me.
Yes, just let me know. I will show you around and show you the gym.
Okay. Good.
Hey,
like 100%, I'm gonna come first to the Cage Fight series.
Yes.
So
yeah,
because I'm so excited about a Cage Fight series and the fight they are putting. I saw a lot of talents like Bogdan, like strong guy, and I want to be there and also look how they are putting show there.
So we see us next time on the Cage Fight series.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Really
definitely.
Awesome. Sounds good. So your next.
I'm gonna ask ticket to Luca. I'm gonna ask a ticket to Luca.
Yeah, he will get you a ticket. Don't worry. Your next fight is in May in Paris, 12th of May.
Yeah.
Is this one of the next big steps for you? Is it what are your plans for 2023?
Oh, 2023, after, like, my next fight, I'm planning to finish that fight in the second round, but it doesn't matter. I can finish in the third round, but as soon as I can have a finish, it's going to be good, because I don't want to go to the judge, because sometimes the judge can give the victory to the other guys, but it's always better to finish your fight, and also the promotion love it. So my goal is, first of all, to be in the top 10 ranking. Second times, maybe I hope to fight 3 times this year, but I know it's gonna be hard having my first fight in May. So maybe 2 times, but being close to the title contention at least this last this end of the year, so the next year I can challenge the champion.
Okay, big plans
so
ahead
with
you.
With 2 solid wins, beating Jose Augusto next, and maybe a top ranked opponent, is it gonna put me in the title contention.
Oh, I wish you a lot of luck and fun and energy for all of this. Thank you so much for
A lot of pain. Of pain. It's going to be a lot of pain, a lot of training, a lot of good moments, a lot of depression. Because when I'm in Germany, usually I'm alone, just training, going to sleep, eat, train, sleep, eat, train, sleep. And it can be hard because sometimes I miss my family, I miss my kid, and there is some moment of depression. But as I said before, this is what you have to give in order to have what you want, the win. So there is nothing free. There is nothing free, and I will pay the price. I will pay the price, because I think I'm not doing this just for me. I'm doing this in order also to help other people. Before, I want to put myself in that position where I can have easily people who are gonna help me, showing awareness to all this all the programs I want to build for child in Africa, and also child here in Europe.
Wow, a lot of good work there from your side.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for everything, for your time, for your energy, for all the projects you're doing. Please sell your painting so I can get some.
Okay. And I'm very happy to be in your platform. Thank you for giving me this time to talk about me, to share my story. I hope it will inspire people, and if they are in bad place, dark moment, you just have to think nothing is permanent. Just keep believing in yourself, just believing in your ability, keep working, and soon you're gonna see the light. Just don't give up. By any means, we have to keep walking, we have to keep grinding. Yeah, so thank you, and I hope we're gonna talk soon after my victory in Paris, and I'm gonna give a shout out to your channel.
Sounds really good. Thank you so much. I'm
Thank
gonna
you,
watch your
thank you
fight.
too.
See
Let's
you soon.
go. See you soon. Thank you. Have a good day.
This was podcast episode 99 with MMA fighter Simon Bion. We wish him for his fight in May all the best and a lot of fun. Thanks for listening till the end. The next episode will be a very special one, so I hope you will tune in again. Until then, I wish you a great week, lots of motivation for your training sessions. Stay safe and unschlagbar ehrlich.